The song you hear every morning when we start this show is an Ozzy Osbourne song, and sad to hear yesterday the passing of Ozzy. And I remember being down with you in New Jersey in June, and we were fortunate enough to have a conversation with Chad Smith, the drummer of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and he said, I'm going to be going over to the UK in a little bit to do this Ozzy tribute, and we're hoping that he performs. And it's going to be, you know, Steven Tyler's going to be there and we're doing stuff and it's going to be amazing. And of course, he did perform. The video went everywhere. Of course, he was sitting down the whole thing, but he got honored, and he got honored while he was alive. And then just a couple weeks later, he passes away. But this is a cultural icon that spanned generations. I was a little young for his heyday in music, but obviously learned about it as I got older, and then the reality show hit and I knew everything about him and his family. Yes, we're going to talk Yankees, we're going to talk Mets, we're going to talk Andrew Thomas pup list, don't worry about it, but had to mention this is a big one. Good morning, Boomer, how are you?
It is a big one, and remember how excited Chad Smith was to be a part of that. And you know, Chad and Steven Tyler and a whole bunch of guys played a whole lot of Love by Led Zeppelin there. And it was an amazing scene in London or outside of London. And, you know, and the fact that Ozzy was able to do that, I was telling Al as he left the studio, I said, you know, very few people get to do what they really want to do at the end. Mm. And they obviously knew that the end was coming close after he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's and probably a few other things. But I'm sure that his life was filled with a lot of late nights and a lot of other stuff that was going on that probably affected the length of his life. But yeah, you're right. He was a cultural icon without a question. And it's one of the reasons why we chose the song, because that song is so popular and it kind of reflects the way we want to get started here every single day. It's unfortunate we have to start with Ozzy's death, but you know, for me as a rock and roll fan in the 70s, I mean, they were right in the middle of all of it. And it was certainly sad, Newt, for sure. And, you know, it just makes you think back to when you were a kid and you were listening to the music and what it was like when I was in high school and how many kids loved and played Black Sabbath. And, you know, it's just one of those realities of life that you have to deal with. And it gives you a moment to pause just to think about some of the great memories you had listening to their music.
And very few people have two careers in the way that he did and was as popular as anybody in the world at both of them.
So I'm Boomer Esiason. Yeah, okay.
That is true. I mean, think about it. But, you know, Ozzy, of course, top of the world when it comes to rock music and Black Sabbath and the stuff he did on his own. And then, you know, as reality television is hitting, I mean, the Osbournes was really the first time that I sat down and watched a ton of reality TV. Maybe Survivor was the first one, and the Osbournes. I mean, it was such a hit. I remember watching the first couple of seasons of that over and over again because it was so funny, and it was the direct opposite of what we were all thought Ozzy Osbourne's life was, you know, where he's this rock and roll crazy person and he's just screaming and yelling and because his guitar is playing everywhere. And of course it's not that, and you get a peek into how funny he is and how the kids interact and Sharon and everything else. But I mean, there's not a single person my age that doesn't know both of Ozzy Osbourne with the reality show and the music. We got, you know, I could at least experience both of those things. It really was a great show.
It was, but you know, think about that show. What I saw is I saw an aging rock and roll star, not aging very well.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things that were funny that he was doing. Now, I don't know if he was embellishing any of it, or if that was truly just him being him.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a little bit, you know, ornery as he got older and, you know, getting a little bit frustrated with things around the house.
Which was good. It was hilarious.
I know.
Yeah, and they're playing pranks on him. And yes. It was
you know,
awesome.
Like for those of us who grew up when they were playing, like you would never, ever imagine that it would look the way that it did in the Osbournes.
Yeah, of course
that,
not.
That's
yeah.
The thing, and I think you point, and I think you hit the nail right on the head saying that he had two different crazy lives, and the second part of that life which we did see on the Osbournes, was the part of the life where, you know, it's like he's recovering from everything that went on before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, and of course, you hear, you know, mid-70s and that age and this day and age, it does feel young. But this is a guy who, of course, a pedal to the metal for so many years. The fact that he got to the mid-70s is a miracle unto itself.
The drugs, just the nightlife, just the intensity of it all. And if you ever watch any of those documentaries of a lot of these different bands, that when they go on tour, you know, and they have, sometimes they have back-to-back nights. Sometimes it's every other night in a different city, a bus ride. Sometimes they're lucky enough to be able to fly private jets to where they need to get going. And to get up every night, it's kind of like an athlete, but an athlete doesn't do, hopefully the athletes don't do nearly as many drugs as the musicians do.
Recreational.
Right. But I mean, it's like every night. And, you know, when you're in front of, you know, whether it be 25,000 fans in a smaller arena or in a stadium where you have 100,000 fans, you got to bring it every single night.
Yeah. And the great ones do. And he obviously was one of them. And, now, Al said something this morning in the warm-up show that I've said before in a different way, and it's a great point, is the fact that, you know, someone like Ozzy, when you didn't know everything about him, felt other, like, more than a human, you know? And, like, rock stars like that, when they were mysterious.
Mick Jagger?
I mean, like, you didn't know everything.
Steven Tyler?
Right, about him. But Alice Cooper, but even more from him, like a dark sense, you know, like even like in the 90s, like Marilyn Manson, you didn't know anything about them, and they'd dress up and it would be like, man, like these guys are crazy, and Ozzy's, you know, chewing the heads off of bats, he's doing all this stuff. And then, like, later in his life, I see his toilet, you know, and his children, and it's just like, and they're in this day and age, things can't be as special as they used to be because everybody knows everything about everything.
Social media.
Well, yeah,
I will say one of the, I don't know if it's not strange, but I did have a strange feeling because you just mentioned somebody, Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
So a friend of mine who unfortunately passed away within the last year. His name was Dale Jensen, lived out in Arizona, and really became friends with Alice Cooper in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a chance to meet Alice Cooper. And he's like a normal, regular dude who loves to play golf.
Yeah, yeah.
Just loves it.
Yep.
And, you know, he's 77 years old now, so he's right there at Ozzy's age. And believe you me, you know, that guy lived a hard life, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. But when I met him, it was like, not anything like I expected.
Well, you know what?
He wasn't in his garb. He wasn't in his makeup. Yeah. He wasn't performing. He was just a normal dude.
Yeah, you know what was great about it? So remember, if you saw Wayne's World, so they did a play on all of that, how Alice Cooper, like, off the stage is a completely different person. He's telling them about the history of Milwaukee and, like, like Wayne and Garth are like, what? Like, you know, you were just out there and, like, doing your thing.
He was acting. He had an act.
Right. Of course. But, yeah, I mean, the guys, like, it's very difficult. I mean, maybe never again are we going to have, like, you know, mysterious, like, who is this person? These otherworldly type rock stars and music stars, because, you know, this day and age, every second of their lives is filmed and put out there. But, you know, there was something just special about that. And then, you know, like, sometimes you don't want to meet everybody you talk about. Like you know, it's like you probably had this idea. You probably had a great time with Alice Cooper. But
I did.
But you're like, it blows your mind. You'd be like, well, wait a second. Aren't you supposed to be like, you know, this dark, crazy person with makeup who is loves Satan? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, well, my buddy Dale said we were playing around a golf with Alice Cooper back like in 96 or something, 97 maybe. I was like, the Alice Cooper? He goes, yes.
Yeah.
And it turned out he couldn't have been a nicer guy. I mean, absolutely couldn't have been a nicer guy. But, you know, that was his act. That was his thing back when he was in his 20s and 30s and he was going 100 miles an hour like they all do.
Yeah.
And that was the thing. Like, I don't know if you took this away from the whole Ozzy Osbourne tribute night.
Yeah.
But watching, you know, Steven Tyler sing Whole Lot of Love and watching Chad Smith on the drums, I'm thinking, this guy, we just played golf with this guy at Due Process, and now he's in the middle of this madness,
yeah,
going
yeah.
100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, he seems like a reasonably tame guy.
Oh, well, right, of course. Am I right? 100%. Yeah. Yeah. But then it just comes out
and
of
then
him.
All of a sudden, he's in the middle of this. And, you know, I sent him a text just saying, like, my elbows hurt just watching him play drums for that song for that one night.
Yeah.
And he said it was really... He had a great time, and it was, you know, all the rockers came together. It was like a lot of guys that hadn't seen each other for years and years and years. It was the ultimate rock and roll reunion is what they were saying.
Yeah, I mean, and it was great to see, because when you're someone like that, where you're Chad Smith and you've done it all, you've seen it all in music, I mean, sometimes you could be jaded, I'm sure. And, you know, he's out east on Long Island a lot of time. He's enjoying himself. He doesn't play as much or tour as much. But you could tell how excited he was about this. Like, this was such a huge deal in his world. And watching him play, you could tell that. And it is true. Like, I remember when Franco Harris's number was about to be retired by the Steelers, he passed away like 2 days before his number was retired.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, my goodness. Is that like just – that's just sad. And to have – Ozzy have that moment, and it just felt, it doesn't happen like that a lot, you know, but this really, really did feel right. And, you know, you don't want to like go into a whole, well, he felt satisfied with his life and was able to pass away after that. But it's just how fortunate was he for everybody to show him how much he was appreciated while he was still alive.
But the reason that you love the Osbournes is exactly what Mike from Hoboken is going to bring up. Mike, what's happening, brother?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, it's kind of the first time every guy realized that their wife was just going to needle them forever in life. You know, if Ozzy's wife can needle Ozzy Osbourne, you know, every guy just realized, okay, this is going to be life going forward.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. I mean, dealing with the kids, dealing with the wife, you think Ozzy Osbourne's in the house and just telling everybody what to do, is sitting on a throne somewhere. That's the idea that you have. But, you know, instead, he's just getting bossed around by his kids and wife. And it is, I think that's the reason why that show worked so well.
Well, and I think Sharon saw the potential of that. Well,
yeah.
Somebody must have gotten to them. It had to be Sharon. It had to be.
Yeah. I mean, and the kids became really famous, too. Jack and, well, I forget the daughter's name off the top of my head, right?
Who was Kelly. It?
Kelly Osbourne, yeah. And they had their own brand and their own show after that. But yeah, I mean, Sharon, yeah, I mean, and I remember there was, at the beginning, there was criticism of Sharon, like, you know, exploiting Ozzy in the way that he was, and some of the, like, the things that were happening to him where it felt like he was on the decline, and like, oh, we're going to make fun of that. And I'm like,
well, that's what I'm saying. That's where initially that's what I thought.
Yeah.
But then the more I watched, the more I realized he bought into it.
Oh, yeah. And like, I don't, you know, maybe some of it was exaggerated or embellished, but I mean, I think that he, like, the way that he lived his life and we were able to watch that made him more popular, more relatable, and more famous than ever. So I like it didn't look to me like we were watching the decline of somebody. It was watching a great person in music also show us how fun he is away from all of that, and also a great dad and a husband, which was great for him. I mean, he couldn't have been any better, you know?
Well, he needed them.
Yeah.
If he didn't have them,
right,
Lord knows where he would be, or how much earlier he probably would have died.
That is a great point. Did anybody see him live? Any of you guys?
I did not.
Nah, that's too bad. I was thinking that at least one of you guys had seen Black Sabbath live or him live. Yeah, I had not either, unfortunately. But I'm sure, like, right in that wheelhouse, that was probably one of the crazier shows you could go to.
That was like Alice Cooper. It was as you said, Alice in Chains. Or Marilyn Manson.
Marilyn Manson.
Oh. Celebrating Satan. I mean, it was just, I mean, look, devil music. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I could hear, like, Dog talking about this, too, when he lists the three things. You know, it'd be like, he had the Black Sabbath years, reality show, bit the head off a bat scenario. I mean, that's one of the top things that you think about with Ozzy Osbourne, right?
Yeah.
Biting the head off
of course.
A live bat.
If, in fact, he did it.
Well,
It was, he didn't think it, the story was he didn't think it was a real bat.
Right.
He thought it was a, like a, someone threw a rubber bat and then all of a sudden he bit into
it. It's like a myth that has grown over the years.
Well, I feel like he confirmed it.
It's good for his brand.
Biting the head off a bat. Good for his brand.
Yeah.
Very on brand with Ozzy. All right. So the Yankees needed a win. They got it. The Mets held on last night. Jerry Recco is going to tell you all about that coming up next.